Blog Talk Radio. passengers, and gaiety mounted as the floating palace neared her European port. Having crossed from New York to Bishop's Rock off the English coast in 3 days, 10 hours, and 40 minutes, the liner United States established a new Atlantic speed record, July 6, 1952. Cheering crowds at Southampton hailed the American ship that had clipped 10 hours from the transatlantic mark set by Britain's own Queen Mary. Then westbound, the United States knifing through the Atlantic for her second record crossing. It was noted by the builders of the ship that in the event of necessity for emergency conversion to military service, the United States could transport 14,000 men, or virtually a full division, 10,000 miles without putting into port for food, fresh water, or fuel. But for the crew and officials and passengers aboard the liner, the greatest moment was now at hand. The United States was reaching Ambrose Lightship outside New York with the blue ribbon of the Atlantic, having made the return trip in a record 3 days, 12 hours, 12 minutes. Saluting the ship whose maiden voyage shattered Atlantic speed marks going over and coming back. At the turn of the century and beyond, Great Britain and Germany dominated leadership in fast Atlantic crossings. Now, for the first time in almost 100 years, the speed crown was claimed by the Stars and Stripes. New York, home port for many of the greatest ships on the oceans, really put on a show. A big broom symbolized the sweep of the Blue Ribbon Speed Trophy by the $70 million United States, America's first lady of the high seas.
Good afternoon and welcome to America's Disabled Veterans in Action. I'm Dr. George Anderson and I'm joined by Stephanie Rossino this afternoon. How are you, Steph?
I'm doing really good, Dr. George. This is the final broadcast of the year.
And yes, it is.
Oh, yeah, and those of you in California, don't forget, tomorrow or at midnight, the gas tax goes up. So, fill up those tanks.
California. California.
Yeah.
That is going to take a jump. Oh my gosh, they've had boats in Catalina that broke loose. The weather is so violently rough because of the high winds. It's really interesting. It's all across the United States today. Especially today, before the day before New Year, it seems to be in a big cold. Oh boy, you got a lot of wind for it.
The wind on the outside is almost impossible to hear, so I'm going to be offline for a couple of minutes.
Okay. Well, we would like to ask everyone's prayers because Marilyn is out at the moment on leave, and we ask your prayers and kind thoughts and best wishes to her, because she's unable to be with us tonight because she is undergoing a health management crisis and is in the hospital. So we are very glad that we wish her well, recovery, and that, you know, when she gets out, she'll be back with us. That being said, what does everybody think about the Christmas time of year? What do you think about the fact that we have a new Congress that's coming in and they're suggesting further cuts to veterans' pensions and salaries and compensation? We have a job to do, and that is to advocate for you, for me, for everyone, so that they get better treatment out of life. You know, so we have to do a lot better than what we're doing. We have to make an impact on the men and women that serve in Congress to let them know that veterans really do matter, and they do more than make up noise.
Absolutely. We have to do better. All we have to do is keep the promises made. I mean, how hard is that?
And that's the hard part, because no one seems to remember how to keep the promises. They remember how to pick up a paycheck, though. They know how. They remember how to vote for a raise for them.
You know, I'd like to get a job like that. You get a couple hundred days off a year, you get full pay, full benefits, lifetime pension. You don't have to do your homework. You got staff for that. You got a party telling you how to vote. And you have your own barber shop. You have your own shoe shine shop.
Don't forget the gym.
And you get to boss people around.
Don't forget the gym.
How can I forget the gym? Although me and Jim haven't been seeing much of each other in the past few years.
Yeah, well, they got a gym, you know. They complain about hand towels and things.
Well, I mean, hey, keep things in perspective.
You know, they're complaining about hand towels and things and not having them because the government shut down. Imagine that. It was really something. So, well, folks, our Brooklyn Navy Yard call-in number is 347-884-8078, 347-884-8078. It is the last day of 2014. It's been an interesting year. Very interesting year. What say you? What do you think of 2014? What are your thoughts and comments on it? Because, I mean, did you sit on the sideline? Did you think it was a good year? Did you think it was a bad year? What is your thought, your comment? It's important we share thoughts and comments. When we talk about the year that has just gone by, do we look at it as a year of good for veterans, or was it a mediocre year for veterans? How did we come up in this past year? Are we better off? Are we
worse off? Well, all I know is the struggle never ends. I don't see how I'm better off, but a lot of that has to do with the mortgage. And because I'm a veteran, I'm excluded from almost everything because my income isn't sufficient. So I'm going to vote Warsaw.
Well, this is what I'm talking about. A lack of fair compensation. And this is the best that you can do. This is the best that you can do.
Okay, how would you judge the voting?
How would I judge the voting?
The new election, the new Congress, the new changes coming down the pike.
I don't have any faith in them. The new Congress coming, because they didn't really run with an agenda to bring forward. They tried to and say, oh, no, it was just in this one instance. But then when I look around on the side of everything that has gone on, you see that it's kind of all interrelated, I think, in that we see the veterans have to stay active. We have to speak up to the Congress. We have to hold them accountable. And if we do, we get a better response. That's what I'm saying.
I know, I'm just disgusted at the whole mess of them. It's just, all I know is that we have to join arms, put on our combat boots, and march. And just operation, let our voices be heard. And if we don't unite, not only are we going to lose every game that we have made, but we're being blamed for the budget mess. We're taking the major hits. The first thing they do is want to cut out the veterans. And we finally get a good guy in there. And from where I'm sitting, looking back, it's that he's losing a lot of his steam because he can't make, you know, the firings happen that need to be. You shouldn't be able to be hired for a job and know that you have a lifetime paycheck coming in no matter what your performance is. And even if you cook the books, all you got to do is, oh, well, it's me. This is the VA. You can't touch me. I'm a civil servant. So go blank, blank, blank yourself.
Well, that's not good. You don't want to go do that. You do not want to go blank, blank, blank ourselves. What say you? Our Brooklyn Navy Yard caller number is 347-884-8078. 347-884-8078. You know, when I think about how they love to tell veterans no, the creative ways they tell you no. You know, this is why we have to begin to look at this, what we do and what's going on. As if we don't look at what's going on out of the Congress, we may miss the opportunity to complain because that's where the legislation that affects us comes from. Not the president, not the state houses, but the United States Congress.
Yep. Everybody that we put a black mark next to in the ballot box, we have to have either a flamethrower or a welding torch and hold their feet to that fire. And everything that came out of their mouth is going to be reality and not a bunch of cow excrement.
See, that's a good thing. That is
it's just that some need a little bit more motivation than others, depending on who's in their district. I'm tired of them holding their finger up. I'm tired of the excuses. Well, we can't afford it. And yet, the civil employees, you don't question. You just give the unions what they want just because they can deliver PAC money and they can deliver votes. But the vet, who's highly trained, puts their life on the line, constantly upgrading their skills, and they begrudge them.
No, not at all. Not at all. That's the sad part. It doesn't. They think it doesn't happen. They think that they're immune. It could not happen to them. And then one day life happens. Yes, it's that way. We have to be upset.
No, I just say it's ridiculous that we have to have nonprofits to help those who made promises supplement them. I mean, why do we give $60,000 in lease area for the so-called first-time home buyers, and yet we don't even think of doing it to vets? When this HARP program is for everyone except a disabled vet, and all you get is contempt, well, you knew what you were getting into. It's an all-volunteer force. Well, whether it is or isn't, the fact of the matter is you took the oath. The oath never expires. We know that there's a ready trained force in the U.S. No matter how rusty our skills are, we can always catch up. And who's going to be the first to defend our nation when our active duty, which is so stripped down, can't? And that's us graying veterans, the very ones that we've been treating like dirt. And our families have been ignored. They seem to forget that sometimes you might have a wife or a widow or a husband, widower, or a child, an orphan. And we don't, whereas if you had a civilian job, oh, you betcha they're covered.
Oh, yeah. But see, it doesn't matter when you're in the veteran. That's the thing. You do a sacrifice. You made a sacrifice. You don't get everything that you think that you're supposed to have. That's how they treat us. That's how they treat us. It's unfortunate, but it's true.
You know, it's pretty sad when dirt is more respected.
Yeah. It is.
And in my area, we call them bugs and shrubs. That's more important than human lives.
They are so a garbage can.
Oh, yeah, environmental laws protecting them. And what's there to protect a veteran? When you got street thugs who beat up World War II vets in their late 80s and kill them, and nobody pays them on.
It's amazing. And then, you know, you wonder why they're trying to get you. You wonder why veterans are trying to get out, and you just wonder why they want to commit suicide. This is what it is.
Exactly. Nobody cares. That's it in a nutshell. Nobody cares. Because you can't afford to keep your promises. But there's always money for everything else. Remember in school when your teacher told you something to the effect of, there's never time to do it right the first time, but there's always time to redo it right?
Yeah.
I thought those nuns were nuts. Turns out they're pretty spot on. I'm sorry for being such a downer.
No, it's okay. It's fine.
You know, you just get so tired of the same stuff, the same struggles, and someone else, I thought I had a good relationship working with him and his family, and then he commits suicide. And then you get the note after the passing just saying, I couldn't take it anymore.
Folks can't handle it.
You know, when it's just not worth it. And, of course, he had a problem with his girlfriend because, you know, he was without a leg. And he, you know, apparently he thinks that, you know, he was treated differently just because he didn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's
we have to keep an eye on this Congress. I mean, it does not matter who's in charge of the Congress. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle they fall on. We have an agenda this year to make sure that we have veterans bring our needs to their attention.
Exactly. Exactly. It's up to us. The only thing that's ever happened is strong lobbying. That's what caused our nation 100 years ago in the Federal Reserve Bank. Thomas Jefferson, he basically said, hell no. And what happened? Some lobbyists 150 years later go ahead and do their magic. And people are so stupid, they don't realize the Federal Reserve has nothing to do with the feds. It's all private.
Yep.
We control
it. It is. The Seventh Sister Bank.
You know, it's lobbying efforts. That's the only thing that counts.
Excuse me. So the low gas prices that we are enjoying today will be higher tomorrow in the state of California.
Yeah, just rub it in that I'm in a state that gives, shall we say, creative thought to how best to fleece.
Yes.
You know, if we have this in Northern California, I think the Central too, we have a utility called Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E. People call it pillage, gouge, and extort, or, you know, different acronyms like that. But there's four tiers of electricity, the base, tier two, three, and four. Well, tiers three and four, 100% of that money goes to, oh, the state of California. And if you remember that fire in San Bruno a few years ago, the Utilities Commission gave $1.2 billion, with a B, dollars as a fine. Well, who pays that? Well, let me see. We do. Instead of spending it on infrastructure or maybe personally finding some of the CEOs who put profits first or some of the investors who put the pressure on them for it, oh, no, it goes to the people in the state. Why am I subsidizing someone in Southern California who's here illegally when we need it up here and we're paying through the roof and we don't get anything for our money?
Oh, no. You want something for your money?
Well, yeah, like government maybe, like infrastructure or another thing.
No.
You know, just small little things like that. I will never give up, you know, liberty for safety. I mean, Ben Franklin told me that in 1789. Not that I was there personally, although my kids will believe that. But, you know, no, we're into freedom. But we also need taxes for infrastructure, for a common national defense, you know, for commerce. And what do we get? We subsidize everybody else. We pay ridiculous salaries and benefits for our elected leaders who turn it into a lifestyle instead of a profession. What happened to citizen safety? Good people can't get in. Oh, I have to go offline for a minute.
All right. I want to tell people, you know, we have America's Disabled Veterans in Action, and I'm very thankful that we are able to answer the call to be able to handle the need of practicing the First Amendment right for veterans to have a organization solely dedicated to focusing on our issues and needs full time. We are not a part of the mainstream news cycle, and we have to have a time slot where we can talk about the things that are important to us as veterans, and that's what we're doing. You know, we have to look at the things that happen in our everyday lives, those that happen in our families. You know, when we look at the children of Vietnam vets who, we look at the children who ring at Vietnam vets, and you see that they have the same stressors and that their parents have had because they've grown up with children of Vietnam vets. You know, and the exposures to the toxins that they may have and future generations may have because they've been exposed to the rainbow chemical of agents. It's something that we have to look at seriously. We have to begin to look at it very seriously. You know, I think if we think about everything that we're doing to make it a better way for the generations that come behind us. Because, see, we can't allow ourselves to be taken for granted because we answered the call to liberty. That does not mean that you're being taken for granted. You're answering the nation's defense to do what you're doing. And the very fact of the matter, you make a great sacrifice to do just that little portion. We must do better. We have to do better. This is the end of team. We are entering 2015. We have come a long way, but we still have a long way to go. We, together, ADVIA, will continue our commitment into 2015 to bring voice to the voiceless, for advocacy, to bring you information that's important to say to those who are doing the movers and the shakers. shakers in the House and in the Senate. We will be looking at the things that are actually going on to make a difference in such a way to surpass the mainstream media, to keep our eyes and ears on the business of veterans. We have to do this for veterans, their family, the active duty, and their family. See, the active duty don't have a chance to speak often. They can't voice their opinions. They can vote, but they cannot voice their opinions and concerns. That's where it comes to men and women like those that listen to ADVIA to speak up on their behalf, to begin to talk about things that you've experienced, things that you go through, things that you see. Together, we have to make an effort for a better tomorrow, and we do that by working together as a group. We do that by talking and holding roundtable discussions, that would possibly result in presidential candidates talking to us in 2016 and vice presidential candidates talking to us in 2016 about what's happening with veterans today. We have to together work hand in hand, focus on improving the quality of life for veterans, whether the veterans are the men and women who have served, or even if it has an effect on active duty. You know, active duty right now, we are having an issue still where the commissaries are under threat of closure. We don't want to have that closure because it affects so many on the bases that serve. It affects so many on the bases that serve that already are on the edge. They're relying between the paydays on soup kitchens and food pantries. Our men and women deserve better who serve this nation. They should be able to afford the food. The United States does not pay the men and women enough that they can buy everything that they need to support their families. So, I propose that we talk about a living wage. We talk about a living wage because men and women who have served this country deserve to earn, and I'm going to say this, as much as the starting salary of policemen in most urban cities. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because of the sacrifices that they make. And I know that this makes it easier for Uncle Sugar to get them moving around. But if Uncle Sugar can hire contractors to do jobs that veterans will do, for half the price, we can afford to spend a little bit more on the men and women who served before the United States military. You know, the fact of the matter is the salary that is there is not reasonable, and it is often to the point it causes stress and strain. Some do well on it, some don't. And when you have a family, you don't always do well by it. So the thing about it is we need to have a fairer wage because the men and women who serve deserve to have a better way to do something to make it a better life so that they're not having to utilize soup kitchens and food pantries and things of that nature, or else we have to subsidize their living by having grocery stores that have affordable prices on the base that makes it convenient for them to sell.
Well, you know, affordable prices, what people don't understand is we have a 5% upcharge And if you're, most place bases are in the middle of nowhere. So to leave the base and shop civilian is a trip. And when you're overseas, you know, you're not there by choice 99.9% of the time. It's nice to be able to go to a commissary and get something you recognize, something good old-fashioned American that reminds you of home. So it's not like it's some fantastic benefit. Although if you compare it to Congress, I guess it would be a benefit that you can get your hair cut downstairs, shoe shine, and everything else.
Right. You can have a shoe shine, but we deserve to have a better, we deserve to have men and women who are overseas to have that commissary, to have that ability to get a little slice of home. You know, it may not be very big, but you can get something that, that at a reasonable cost. Reasonable. That's the key. You know, considering how hard these men and women work, the key is what is reasonable. Is reasonable $2.70 an hour? Or $5.36 at an E6 scale? So, per hour, for all the hours of the day, 24/7, that you're on call to the United States military, that you can be written up for destruction of government property if you expose yourself to frostbite. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. Get a tattoo. All of these things can have you into a very serious problem with the United States military for destruction of government property. Now, that being the case, we have to look at this. We're going to treat men and women this way over their own body that serving in the service of the country. Don't you think they deserve a little bit more money? I do. You know, Uncle Sugar expects for these people to be resistant to bribes, resistant to everything else because they may be struggling financially. Well, how would they struggle financially if we paid them salary that was commensurate with what they do? A realistically fair, reasonable wage.
Well, you know, there are
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there are some people that think that the military gets paid too much, some too little. But in Congress, they all seem to agree we're expendable and we're not worth anything. So, like I said, everything is cut.
Well, we're not expendable, and that's why we have invested as much as we have in the past year of saying to the nation is we are not expendable, that we are workers, that we do matter as a community. You know, you're not, no, we're not going to accept substandard pay. No, we don't like the ideas that you're bringing forward of cutting veterans by 1% if you're between 40 and 60 years old. They need to chart them out. They're pointing them out on the very various services. And again, we have a series of witnesses
look at this way. Look how many people are in some of the worst deplorable conditions, and they don't even have job security. They get up, they have the pink slip. I mean, what does that tell them? Oh, by the way, if you survive, you're going to be unemployed now. And they wonder why there's a high foreclosure rate, there's a high suicide rate. Just give them economic capital punishment for doing nothing except their job. What kind of steelmaking is that?
That's the question. That is the question.
And those that come down with bad cases of PTSD, they act as if it's their fault because they're weak or something defective on it. When, you know, PTSD, it's simply put, it's a reaction to something that was extraordinary outside of the human experience. Mark Emerson said that it takes how many weeks to turn a man into a soldier? And of course, he meant woman too. Part one. Part two, how long does it take to return him to civilian?
Well, they just put him out. He just gets put out. There's no debriefing.
Oh, yeah, and the taps. Half the time, that's a joke. It's like the DOD has their... It's turf wars. I liked it best when somebody explained about 4 years ago that the DA or the VA and the DOD is like Apple and Macintosh. They just need to come up with something to communicate, or they won't share anything with states because they say, oh, it opens them up to security issues. I mean, like, really? Upon discharge, you can't send that information to your home state, so maybe they can check on you? Some states care more than others about their vets. Of course, other states just have people in charge that only care about the pocketbook and their bottom line. I'm sick and tired of working with jokers like that. They don't realize there's a human cost. Or maybe they realize and they just don't care.
There's some people... Others are expendable as long as it's not my child. And that makes it very serious. We have to begin to look at it from the standpoint we must do better for our vets, because we're not expendable. We have to make people aware that our lives are important. It takes a toll on the families that make such a great sacrifice.
You know, this is the longest war that I'm aware of in American history. Was it 13 years now?
Yeah, it was the longest war.
Don't tell me it's still not going on. But look at it, if you look back at the history, it's been going on 1,000 years. Our enemy is committed to our destruction. It seems like our government is hell-bent on our personal. Let's just go away.
fact of the matter that they don't want anyone to be unlike whoever they are. If you're a Westerner, you are not supposed to like anything. You're an infidel.
That's it, exactly. If you don't believe exactly the way they do, and they look at their beliefs first, not nationality.
It looks like we are coming up. So if you want to get involved,
you're breaking up.
Oh, sorry, I'm not taking back anything from the greatest generation, but I tell you what, this current generation is pretty daggone special to me.
Mm.
You know, it's the same warrior's heart. If I can figure out how to afford it, I plan on seeing American Sniper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everyone has a story who's in. And that's what we're here for. You have a story to share, to tell, share it. There's no judging here. If you've got a compliment, shout it out. If you've got a complaint, let's hear it and let's figure out what we can do about it. Because the only way things are going to get solved is starting with a discussion. If you don't know about the problem, you can't fix it.
Yeah.
And if you don't know which politicians, if all you hear is what they want you to hear, we need somebody actually ground pounding and finding out what's really going on, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. And if you want to join in providing information, then do it. This is a forum to educate, to share.
Whole intent is to make sure that we have an open discussion free of bias, to provide equal time to opposing views, as well as to have an informed discussion so that the people can have understanding of what goes into veteran policy that makes our governmental laws that guide our veterans. This idea is something that we have to do because we have too many veterans that don't understand what their benefits are, what they can get. They don't understand that certain cities even have veterans' preference for hiring. What does that mean? What does it mean when you get hired by someone with a veteran's preference?
You know, and on that, in Sutter County, it took me 5 years when I was first commander to have an overnight success in getting them to honor the law that had been around since the early 70s. That's pretty messed up.
Wow. We have to do much better than what we're doing. To make sure that we can bring in the year in such a way that we can do things that are easier to access our benefits, to cut down the suicide rate, and to provide veterans with options that lead to better quality of life.
You know, we are so hell-bent on seeing that people who break the law coming into this country are subsidized, whether they're called the Boston Bomber, whether they're beheading somebody. We're subsidizing them. And yet people just react badly, or should say horribly, when they talk about veterans' benefits, which were earned.
Oh, no. You're moocher. Anyone that gets the title veteran, and I'm not talking about people like to use it like, oh, I'm a veteran because I've been there for a while and I've been working for that company and I'm a veteran for there. No, you're not a veteran. That's not a veteran. A veteran serves in the United States military. That's what a veteran is. So if you get that title, veteran, that means that you've been serving and you served honorably to wear the title veteran. It usually denotes the conference of a general or better discharge. It can be a dishonorable discharge because you have veterans with dishonorable discharges. But the thing is that it denotes, the word denotes military service.
You know, it's amazing how much it took to have the government recognize that people lie saying that they are, as if there's something great about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they protected his free speech, and we had to defend it. Of course, we do it willingly, but still. Being a veteran is an earned title. It's not given, it's earned.
Not everybody can get in. Not everybody could get in.
You know, that's true.
No. You may think that you could get in and go take the test. Can you pass the test? That's first off. You got to try the mental test. Then you can't be overweight. You have to be physically in shaping and reasonably good health. You just couldn't be flat-footed. Flat feet lead to shin splints.
Oh, I remember 60 of us in my company got either stress fractures or shin splints. Of course, back then it was a big deal finding out that men are different from women. That was revolutionary.
Well, you know, it's a sacrifice. You have to learn how to take care of your self, your family, and everything like that. But when you're dealing with the veterans and you go into the military, they don't prepare you how to take care of yourself because that whole lifestyle is different. You know, you get in there, and all of a sudden you're marching around in combat boots that are not the most comfortable things to wear for hours on end. Oh, a 5-mile hike before lunch? No problem. We'll set out for the walk.
A walk? Try double time with the pack.
Mind walking you to the far ends of wherever it was so that you could be walking, and you better salute the car if it drove by. You remember the car?
Actually, they were Jeeps back in my day.
Huh?
They were called Jeeps back in my day.
You had a Jeep.
Yeah, it had a flag on it, might as well just bow and curtsy, depending on whether you're Class A's or you're BDU's.
whatever you were in, you better turn and salute.
And make sure that it's clean, because if something was wrong, it was your fault. That definitely prepares you for motherhood.
I remembered the old saying about how the brick, how your shoes were shined if they were dull, and you know you struggled to get the shine in the first couple of days, and then you learn that after you've applied heaps and tons of wax, and you even find out about the benefits of even melting your wax to apply it more evenly to your shoe to give a higher shine. And the benefits of, wait for it, perfume sprayed on the shoe before buffing. Do you remember that? Perfume cologne really wanted to use. But we did that for that purpose. And it would result in a mirror shine.
Well, I definitely remember all that.
I still have my Oxford that the Uncle Sugar gave me. And even after all these years, do you know those puppies still hold a shine that are really phenomenal?
No, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. I have them around here somewhere, but I kept them all these years because they're always some of my best shoes. Because I like, even when I used to work at the airline, I would wear them. I've never had to have them resold. I've never had to have them resold, but I have had to have them rehealed.
Well, I tell you what, a pair of broken-in boots was worth its weight in gold.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was kind of lucky initially because they couldn't get boots to fit me. They had to special order mine. So I went through the first part of basic without having to have boots, which meant I got away with a spray shine. So everyone else owed me because they never searched me for that because I didn't have the combat boots.
Oh.
Yeah, neater, neater, neater.
See? You make them jealous. You know what jealous is?
I wasn't Air Force. What does it mean?
You know, when somebody gets the green-eyed monster.
Ah. Gotcha.
Jealous. Jealous. Because it's J-E-A-L. Jealous. It's all in how you pronounce the syllable. Well, that's how it is when you're from Brooklyn, where you go to Toyd Avenue and Toyd Toyd Street and get a blanket for your mother before you go to the Brooklyn Navy Yard phone number and you call Dr. Anderson and Stephanie on America's Disabled Veterans in Action. That phone number is 347-884-8078. Our lines are open.
Except we're at just the tail end, though. So they snooze, they lose.
Well,
probably
until tomorrow.
Celebrating.
Oh, no, there isn't. That's it. You're out. You don't get no more. If you don't call today, this is the last time. It's the last portion of 14 fresh 14 that we can offer. I'm afraid at midnight. Oh, you know what? It is. The new year has already begun. This is the diminishing portion. You know, we started at 2300 Zulu. It is now. Happy New Year! It's midnight, Zulu. So it's 6 minutes after midnight. I want to say Happy New Year to the men and women across the ocean in the Pacific, because it's already the new year there. So I want to tell everybody over there, Happy New Year.
And we want to join Happy New Year.
Yeah, we want to thank you for being over there during the new year. Watching our backs, all the men and women, and what was that that he used to say? Good evening, this is Walter Winchell. I'm broadcasting to all the da-da-da-da and the ships at sea.
Oh, speaking of which, we have a beautiful sunset posted on the Facebook of what it looks like from a warship, that you could still see such beauty.
Who is it from? Missouri? Missouri likes us.
Well, Missouri has a whole bunch of patriots.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, I'm talking about the battleship Missouri. Iowa likes us too, but Iowa doesn't talk as much. And New Jersey doesn't have a page, and neither does Norfolk. I mean, neither does Wisconsin. Well, we're on the move again, folks. We have to thank you for the increased numbers through 2014. When we started 2014 on January of last year, do you have any idea of where we were, folks? We were just a young organization thinking that, oh, we're going to get out here. We're going to put this down here to see what happens. And we did. And when we put it out there to see what happened, we went to town. And when we went to town, we said, let's keep going. So we did. And so in early January last year, we were at this rate of 19 likes.
Whoa.
Yes. Did you hear me, Steph?
I did. I remember those days well, and I did. I thought you had too many lofty ideas. I didn't think there would be that many vets who wanted to share that believed in advocacy and wanted to exercise free speech, although, unfortunately, our active duty fans can't share too much on air because they're not allowed to have their own opinion. However, that doesn't mean they're not heard, and we don't listen.
We do this because we realized that if we didn't say anything, we were just as bad as they were.
Worse, because we know better and we've walked those shoes. We are those shoes.
Well, let me tell you something. We're at 11,000 as of today. Now, we started at 119 on the 2nd of January last year. And as of today, we're at 11,113. Is that remarkable? Is that remarkable? Call that remarkable. I think that when we started this, I said, oh, not many people will like us at first. And I said, maybe it's by the end of the year we'll get to 5,000. Well, you guys have surpassed all of our expectations, and we are glad to be there, to be of service, to do this advocacy thing. Because if we don't do it, nobody else will. It's an afterthought. Mainstream media has an agenda. It's an agenda that doesn't consider the thoughts, needs, wants, and desires of the veterans community in the United States, those men and women who have served. So we take up to this point, and we say that we have to do better by our vets. And how we're going to do better by our vets is that we do the things that make it possible for the veteran to have, for the veteran to have what they need, whether it's proper body armor, you know, whether it's the things that make life better after service. How do we get the veterans to become reintegrated into our society after a 13-year war? We must do better. You know, we have to do much better. So this is where we've been in the last year. We've had a significant amount of growth. I mean, what happened in February, what happened in January of last year to where we are this year, you know, it's absolutely phenomenal. We have gone 1,000 times beyond 119 in a year's time, and we're continuing to grow. That's the thing. I want to thank everybody for the year of growth. I'm very appreciative of the support that we have had and continue to get to make a difference in the lives of veterans. We must do everything that we can to make sure that veterans have a forefront and a place to speak on their issues and the issues that affect their family. I was wondering what happened to you. There you are.
Well, I called back immediately. What I did was I accidentally dropped the cell phone. And you know what? I need to get me some flubber. I need a flubberized case so it'll bounce back up.
Well, Back to the Future said that you were supposed to have skateboards without wheels, and they're about to do those, so. It could happen. It could really happen. It can really happen. So, Stephanie, what was one of the biggest points of 2014 for you?
I mean, with the radio or personally?
Radio. I mean, some of the stories that you felt were good.
Probably, well, because it's in my neck of the wood, Jonathan Bibbins, the way he was refused entry on a VA bus, could not get word over there. When he gets there, they want the patient advocate, just treats him like dirt and doesn't care. And all they could think about was, he's probably upset because we damn near killed him. It was only 109 degrees. And we made him walk in violation of the law. And we want him to go away. Mm-hmm. And it was just a verification of everything that I see all the time. And then about 2 weeks prior to that is when I saw a young, I don't know what branch she was in. She was probably a Marine because she was really short, had a little girl with her. And I know it wasn't because she was African-American. It's because she was a vet. She wanted to be seen. That was her third trip there. And they tackled her down in front of her daughter and told everyone around, myself included, do not talk or get involved. Just sit down or we'd be arrested. And I felt so bad, because I just sat back down and kept my mouth shut while I watched somebody's rights get trumped in front of a little girl. And I'm more disgusted with myself that I didn't do anything.
Well, don't be disgusted with yourself for not doing anything. I mean, what could you do? I mean, you could speak up, but then there's always the danger. The one that speaks up gets hit, but you never know. We have to take a chance sometimes. That's what makes us different. It's just ordinary men acting extraordinary in ordinary times. That's what makes the difference of a hero is. We have to do a little bit more. You have to persist. And it's hard. It's hard to have that character to persist.
You know, it is.
But it's not impossible to do it. Yeah, no, it's hard, but it's not impossible to get. That's one of the things that the military trains you to understand, that you can get it. You can think it out. You can get through it. A can-do attitude. No, is not an option.
Exactly.
It's not an option. So, our Brooklyn Navy Yard call-in number is 347-884-8078. We have approximately 10 minutes left in our screening for the year. And it's really funny that we end the year. I could only find the results for January 2nd. Of this year, and as we speak right now, we are at 11,117. It's kind of ironic, don't you think, Seth?
Yep.
You know, trying to break 100 during the holiday season. Well,
it's hard to believe it's almost over, and for everyone who helped a veteran or veteran's family member, especially those that lost their loved one this past year, to help them get through it. You're the heroes, because you're the ones that make a difference. And it's appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
It's appreciated.
Indeed. We do appreciate it. We have to appreciate it. because of the fact of the matter. Because of the fact of the matter that we have the Constitution. And that job means that we have to speak up in the face of people who would leave our fallen on tarmacs in Delaware. I used to have a friend that worked for a major airline, and he would, you know what he would call Delaware?
A forgotten state?
No, Delaware's a never.
What?
Delaware's a never.
Okay.
You know, Delaware's a never. You know, it's somewhere out there in the middle of nowhere and in between Delaware's a never.
Okay, well, maybe I've just have too high an opinion of Delaware. I think it's one of the original 13.
Yeah, well, but it was, all of them have little nicknames. And Delaware is butt yay big. You roll through Delaware so quick that you don't even know you've gone through it, unless you're going down 13, and then you'll get a good strip of Delaware. But it blends in because, you know, Delaware, when you go down the 13 highway, it's called the Delmarva Peninsula. And you know why it's called Delmarva, right?
Not yet, but I'm sure you'll tell me.
Well, sound it out. Delmarva. Delaware, Maryland, Virginia.
Okay. All right, got
so
it.
So Delmarva. That's what they call the Delmarva Peninsula. It's the three states of Delaware, Virginia, and Maryland.
Okay, makes sense.
Kurt Johnson, that's his home. He's from the Delmarva Peninsula.
Oh, I did not know that. You know, he's a nice guy.
I think so. I think he's a good man myself. I kind of enjoy hanging out with him.
Well, he's DAV, so, you know, of course he's a cut above.
And of course he is. You know, most men that make commander are.
By the way, this is fair warning to all you so-called public servants. If you're not out there serving us, we're watching. Have no prisoners. Mm-hmm. If you're messing up, you will be exposed. We will, you know, talk to you in private. However, you may not be feel free to keep doing business as usual, because there will be a consequence, and that's exposure. Nothing malicious. You either do your job, or we're going to tell everyone what you're doing back there. You will not get away with it.
The bank system back for corruption is outside. And 2015 is the year we're going to let the sunshine in. KDVIA is going to be in the spotlight to help bring these discussions about. So this is why we have to do what we're doing, and why we're going to continue to do what we're doing. Because if we don't continue to do what we're doing, no one else will do it.
Exactly. Days are over. Business as usual will not be tolerated. You will do what you promised, or you're not going to get reelected.
We will respond. Well, looks like we're out of here till next year. 1 January.
Yep,
so we'll
and,
see you next year, folks. You know, it's always fun hanging out with you. And we'll be back tomorrow.
And, and that's next year.
Well, Steph, you're getting too close to that thing again.
Sorry about that.
You're getting too close to it. You've already, Steph, why are you messing with that thing?
Well, because there's nothing better to do.
I know.
Watch out for that place, Stephanie. It's a Lulu.